The sixth case today, United States v. Ward.
Good morning, Your Honors. I am Attorney Ronald Benavides. I represent Victor Ward in this appeal. In order to clarify or state essentially the nature of the argument in the brief, I would assert on his behalf first that Mr. Ward was sentenced to 135 months in prison, 8 years of supervised release, after a finding by the court that he, the offense level was 30 and that he was a Category 2. What's interesting about this particular procedure, the sentencing in October of 2004, is that there was a primary sentence formulated and imposed by the court which did not rely on the guidelines, and there was an alternative sentence which did rely on the guidelines and regard them as mandatory. That structure of the sentencing is worthy of note, but the fact is that that particular structure, the primary sentence which did not rely on the guidelines or treat them as mandatory, and the alternative one, took place at a time before the Supreme Court decision in Booker had been published. Therefore, I would assert on Mr. Ward's behalf that the fundamental importance, the profound importance of the 18 U.S.C. 3553A factors had not yet been enunciated or reaffirmed by the Supreme Court. So that's the context in which the sentencing took place. Beyond that, I would ask Your Honors to consider that structurally what that means is that one of the sentences is in error, just plain error, because it relied on the guidelines as mandatory, and that the primary sentence had exactly the same result, the top of the guidelines, 135 months.
Have we ever sent back one of these alternative sentences? I don't think so. Are you aware of any time we did
that? Not so far.
I mean, a number of district judges were imposing them, and I know we've said that's fine, and we've approved the alternative sentences being reasonable in every appeal I can think of that we've had.
The essential point is that the sentencing took place before the final decision in Booker.
I know, but a lot actually from Judge Shabazz in the Western District of Wisconsin.
What happened, therefore, is that, for example, the defendant made 5 points in its argument, in his argument, asking the court to consider his prior criminal history resulting in the 10-year minimum, but that 10-year minimum being 12 months higher than what the guidelines normally would have been, that the same conviction came up again in the criminal history, that the defendant's family had written letters, positive letters, about his character. The defendant asked the judge to consider his age, 19 years old at the time of the prior conviction, and the actual age of the prior crime. But what happened, I believe it's fair to assert on Mr. Ward's behalf, is that those, call them the 18 U.S.C. 3553A factors, were treated rather perfunctorily. For example, in terms of the defendant's reference to the letters that his family had written, there's one point in the proceedings where the judge talks about, well, that's not how you return family love, by selling drugs. But the point was that his family loved him and saw positive aspects of in his character that should be considered. As well, in terms of the point about the fact that he was 19 years old in terms of the prior conviction, it was 12 years ago, and so on, the judge commented specifically that it wasn't the prior conviction that created the situation, it was the criminal conduct itself. So, in effect, treating perfunctorily the argument under 3553A.
Didn't this procedure follow the decision by this court in Booker, even though the Supreme Court decision had not issued?
Yes, Your Honor. This court's decision in Booker suggested a kind of alternative structure. The troubling thing is that the sentence in error, which treated the guidelines as mandatory, had the top of the guidelines, and it's I would assert on his behalf it's somewhat troubling that it had the very same result in the sentence that did not treat the guidelines as mandatory. So in effect, I would ask that you consider the structure of what took place, and that it took place before the full affirmation, or referring to the 18 U.S.C. 3553A factors as so fundamentally important in developing a sentencing argument.
The remand you're asking for could end up with the same sentence again, couldn't it?
It's possible, but I would assert that it's not clear whether the judge really took those, for example, those two factors, the defendant's age at the time of the prior crime and the age of the prior crime itself, if he really treated them anything other than perfunctorily. So it would at least clarify, if there were a limited remand under Palladino, whether he would consider them fully or did consider them fully. I would assert that that's a question that arises under the proceedings.
But we ask them if they would impose the same sentence had they known they were advisory, and what different is he going to say in a response after he's already said it once in the first sentence?
It would at least clarify. I think it's fair to say that there's a sentence, there's a portion of this sentence that is clearly in error, and it calls the proceedings at some level into question. So at least it would clarify the question that arises. Thank you. I'm going to waive rebuttal. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, counsel.
May it please the court, counsel. Peter Giroles for the United States. I wasn't the attorney down below. Your Honor, the defendant in this case is not questioning the guideline calculation or the accuracy of the guideline calculation. He's not questioning that 3553A sentence, the alternative, one of the alternative sentences, was somehow unreasonable. He says it was within the guidelines. He says it was legal. It considered the 3553A factors. What he's really considering and what he's really objecting to is the procedure, as he stated, that the alternative sentence was given.
You practice regularly in the Western District. Has Judge Shabazz ever imposed an alternative sentence that's different than the...
Not that I can recall that he has, Your Honor. But the question is not whether or not the sentences are the same. The question is whether or not Judge Shabazz gives those
3550. I understand that, but I just asked you as a matter of fact. Counsel makes a point that this is just a perfunctory exercise. The judge just says, well, alternatively, even if the guidelines are advisory, I'd impose the same sentence. If that's what he says all the time, in every case, where there's smoke, there's fire, I suppose.
Well, and certainly if we looked at only the result in isolation, then there would perhaps be an issue. But we never look at things in isolation. None of the decisions are, and none of human behavior is. We always look to see what was going on beforehand. If I push you in out of the way of a car, but you get hit by something else, I mean, the question is, what am I doing? The result could still be bad. I pushed you into something else, but if I was saving your life by pushing you out of the way of the car, that's the critical factor. And in here, Judge Shabazz is considering factors of the seriousness of the offense. He specifically stated that the sentence was necessary to deter the defendant and to protect the community, as well as to punish the defendant. He remarked...
Well, it's not like a 120-month sentence and a mandatory minimum wouldn't have punished the defendant.
Your Honor, and that's certainly within Judge Shabazz's discretion in this case. He certainly considered the factors and found that that was an adequate sentence. There's nothing unreasonable about that sentence. It's within the guidelines, properly calculated as the appellant asserts. It just is simply high within the guidelines themselves, but nothing inherently unreasonable about that. The district court in this case did exactly what the Supreme Court required in Booker. It considered the properly calculated guidelines as advisory. It considered them as a reliable indicator in determining a sentence. and the district court articulated its reasons and specifically considered and commented on several of the 3553A factors and specifically found that the sentence imposed of 135 months was needed to punish the defendant and deter him from further committing crimes. This court should affirm the district court's decision and sentence as reasonable and find there was no error. Unless the court has any questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Benavides, the court also wishes to express its thanks for your accepting the appointment in this case as well and vigorously representing your client.
Thank you, Your Honor. My pleasure.